everybody, although I think Seth is running the music. That was music, by the way, by Daphne. And those of you who have been following our story know that Daphne is one of the people that was she was the person who was the first person who channeled and introduced me to this idea of communication between realms. And we are having a simulcast, which is a conference call, and live on BBS Radio. And I'd like to greet all the people on BBS. I know we have people in other countries listening to us, and it's good to have you, and I'm so glad that we have the magic of Internet to allow this to occur. And we have a bunch of people on a conference line right now, and we actually started this doing a telephone conference, and I guess we started it maybe 2.5 to 3 years ago, and just maybe 1 or 2, 3 people for many months. And we started it because I was involved in the process of channeling, and I learned something about the sources that I was talking to. And that was that not only were they a voice that could speak to me through someone, but they were also able to beam, let's see how I explain this, beam energy into this realm. I guess beam is the right word. They exist outside of time, and they're group souls, millions of individual souls, and some of them have gone through physical lifetimes and graduated from this realm, and some of them are just pure energy, and they're intelligent, they think, they observe things. Now, it's hard for me to imagine how they do that, because they're pure energy, but we talk to them. So when we talk to them, we actually get their communications. And the way they described it early on was they monitor our planet, and they can see what we could call light energy emanating from the planet. Some of you may have had the experience of attending a spiritual group or attending something that was extremely uplifting, and you could feel an energy in the room. Sometimes Earth people call that vibrations or good vibrations. So when there's a group together that was generating good vibrations, they could be aware of those vibrations, and they could add to it and support it. And so when I would be going around giving talks on my book, every time I did that, there was an incredible vibration in the room. And it didn't matter if I was having a funky day or in a bad mood, no matter what, that vibration was in the room, and the people in the room could feel it. So in a channeling, I asked about it, and they said that was them beaming in. And so I asked them, I said, if I do a conference call, could you connect with the people on the call? And they said they could. So that was the birth of the conference calls, and it was kind of a test. They said they could do it, but I wondered if they really could. And we've been doing these calls, and many of the people on the calls have felt that energy. If you're on for the first time, you may be in a place where you're scrutinizing this with your mind. You're wondering if this could be real. And so you may not feel the energy when you're in your mind. If you want to feel the energy, you don't have to believe it, but you have to go into neutral. You have to just stop your mind, stop your evaluation process. And it's a very, very subtle energy. It doesn't, well, let me say, it may not be subtle for some people, but for most people, it's subtle. It's just a slight change of vibration. there's a feeling of peacefulness inside of you. And that is an indication that your consciousness, your hologram, you could call it, your energy field is expanding, and it's touching into these other realms. Now, this is all new to me. I mean, a few years ago, I wouldn't have a clue about this kind of experience. Well, I did have the experience of sitting in the room of certain teachers, spiritual teachers, and I could feel that energy. But never in my wildest imagination did I imagine that that energy had intelligence behind it. I used to think it was some kind of energy of the universe that just worked that way, but I couldn't imagine that it could think and observe me while I was feeling it. And I've learned, without a shadow of a doubt, that it is intelligent, and it does observe us, and it actually, they want to connect with us. They want, you know, I actually used that language earlier today. I said they want. I don't think that's the exact right language that they want. They are available to us if we want to make a connection. They're making themselves available. And by making this connection, it starts you connecting with a vibration that's not of the earthly realm. Most of us are spending our days needing something from someone else energetically, or we feel lonely. And now we have this third option, this ability to connect with energies that are not of this realm and can actually feel a sense of companionship. I prepared some really interesting things for this particular call tonight. And those of you who have been checking in regularly know that Terry has been always on these calls, and usually at some point in the call, we have a conversation with the Elohim. You know what? I was going to record this, and I forgot to record it. Just a moment.
To begin, this conference will now be recorded.
But now that we're being recorded, I have to make pretend when somebody picks this up, they don't know I just talked for 2 minutes. So Terry has this ability to feel the energy and turn it into words. And when this was all unfolding for me, at a certain point, I asked them, and let me just say who they are. We've been in communication with what identifies themselves as two group souls. One of the group souls is the Ra group, and the other is the Elohim group. And the Ra group is composed of intelligences that have graduated from this realm, that have gone through a period of lifetimes, just like our lifetimes, and they got off the wheel of reincarnation. And they now are a conglomerate group spread through the galaxy, pure energy that is helping planets at lower levels go through their evolution. In fact, they said that when they were in bodies, there was a group similar to them that had graduated and was helping them. And apparently, there's just, I don't know the big picture, but there's other realms and higher realms that keep going on, becoming one with all that is and losing yourself. That's beyond the scope of this call. But in any case, the Ra group made themselves known to me. My first introduction to them was when I started studying David Wilcock's website, and he had all these readings that had come through him by a group that identified itself as the Ra group. And I tend to be very skeptical, so it took me a long time to integrate this. But one of the first things that really convinced me that the Ra group was real was when I had a reading from David Wilcock. And what I thought is I would share some pieces of that original reading I had, which was, I believe, in the year 2000. And, oh, we got a baby on the line. Is that Suzanne? Okay, I haven't muted everybody. Hey, before I mute you, would you guys like to say hello to everybody on BBS? 1, 2, 3.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everybody on BBS.
Okay. That's just so you guys know that we really do have a conference line. So, let's see. Here we go. Here's my reading. Now, this was in the year 2000. And let me say, I'll tell you where I was at that time. I was going around to fairs and festivals, and I was selling things. And I knew that's what I wasn't supposed to do. When I was younger, I thought I was supposed to play music, and I did play music, and my life fell apart, and I got stuck in a rut. And then I started writing poems, and I started sending my poems out. And then I started writing articles for a metaphysical magazine. But I was not very happy, and I wasn't really grounded in that role. I was doing it. And I met David, or I discovered his website, and I started to put together that, in fact, if he was telling the truth in his story, that he really was Edgar Casey. And this was quite amazing for me because I was very much influenced by Edgar Casey. I had probably read 20 books about Edgar Casey. And when I first talked to David on the phone, I could barely keep my words together because I said, oh, my God, I'm talking to Edgar Casey. Well, he had all these channelings, and they were talking about all kinds of stuff. In particular, they were explaining this dimensional shift. And that was the very first time I ever heard of a dimensional shift. And they were also talking about ascension, that there were going to be certain people that would leave this realm in their bodies. And that was very far out, and I said, I don't know if this is true or not, but I decided that I should get a reading from David and see how it resonated for me. And I have that reading in front of me. And keep in mind that my life was a mess at that point. How would I describe it? Terry knew me then. I was living in my RV, and it was parked in a storage lot, and I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I felt like I was over the hill, and there was nowhere to go, and maybe I should die now, because what am I going to do next? Nothing seemed obvious to me. And I did have a lot of experiences of synchronicities in my life. So I knew there was something out there, magical, that could put things together. When I learned the circumstances that would create synchronicities. And, you know, there was something Kathy asked me to share. I started to say it 1 week, and I didn't continue. Just one weekend, I had just the most amazing demonstration of the power of my own thoughts, and I actually think they were playing with me. They laid something out so that I had to take notice, and I'll share that after I share a little bit of this reading. But I couldn't ground the energy. I didn't know how to ground the energy. And I think, even now, I think I'm still just a babe taking baby steps, learning how to ground. It seems like everyone else knows how to ground, knows how to be somewhere, live somewhere, have a family, and I had no clue about that. I would go to festivals or fairs, and I feel totally at home in a crowd of people. But then when it was finished, I didn't know where to go. I didn't have a sense of foundation. So this is a little bit of the reading. All the lights have come down upon you to reveal that the possibilities are indeed infinite. The troubadours begin their dance again. The angels mop up the stage when it is finished. To bow is to leave with the intent that you have done a good job and feel satisfied with the product or the outcome. The great chain of being does have many entities that would seek, suppose, to take advantage to render one listless and unavailable for heaven on earth, so to speak. Now, I think I should translate that. I knew in another lifetime I was a troubadour, 1,000 years ago in England. I had a circumstance 20 years ago where somebody did a reading on me, and they told me the story of that life and how I was duplicating a lot of the patterns of that life in this life. So they're talking about going out and doing a performance and walking away with the performance. Now, going to a street fair was very similar. It was like going onto a street where nothing happened, setting up a space, selling something, and then it's finished. And when it's finished, you're on to the next thing. It's over. And maybe you had a lot of money in your pocket. Maybe you smiled at a lot of people, but it was a discrete circumstance. It didn't connect. When it was done, it was finished. And then they say, with the calipers and clips we have in place, much can be exposed in the process that is being done on your soul. Organs can be clearly identified. Systems can be traced. Metaphysical principles can be brought back to their roots. And higher levels of knowledge and learning can take an effect as a result. We walk with those who will not disintegrate when the stage is mopped up and the play concludes. I'm going to...
All callers are muted.
There we go. I just muted everybody. So that's critical there, because they're telling me that I would go and do a performance, do a street fair, and then I'd walk off and I was finished. But they're saying that they don't work closely with someone who does that. They don't want things to disintegrate when the stage is mopped up and the play concludes. Now, in an old paradigm, I could look at this radio show as a performance, and that I'd have to deliver a good performance, and when it's over, I'd move on. But I don't look at it that way anymore. I don't see it that way. I see that this is a flow. All of us on this line are connecting in a flow of energy. And that flow continues when the show ends. It starts again tomorrow when Wayne's on. Life has to flow. And when you're just dealing with worldly things that start and stop, you don't get into a spiritual flow. The spiritual flow continues, and instead of seeing this show here as a performance, it's just part of the flow. And we are all in the flow together. All of those of you who choose to listen and allow your energies to participate. And so they're explaining that we walk with those who will not disintegrate when the stage is mopped up and the play concludes. We walk with those whose truths are self-evident, that all are created equal. It is a team effort that all must pull their weight in their own way. And then they talk about the negative forces that have obstructed me in my life. And probably some of you feel that no matter what you do, there's something blocking you. Just as the Ra group is an intelligence and the Elohim group is an intelligence that's here to support you, there are negative groups that exist that have intelligence and intent that are there to block you. And so now they're describing to me, the terrorists have come and they have taken jet fuel from you that you could have otherwise used for self-ascension. The terrorists are the negative forces which create intuitive burnout and lead to a depleted functioning capability and capacity. And I certainly learned to understand that. And then they say, not unlike ours, you have a mind which is capable of multidimensional existence. And without this capability, you would still be subject to premonitions of future events and other aspects that would promote positive. You are indeed a wanderer soul. And those of you who have read my book know that a wanderer is someone that had graduated from this realm and had come back into it with the intent of being of service here. And many of you on this line would certainly fit into that category. To be more consistent of your wanderings is to take stock of the earthly events that have transpired and heed them as warnings of the future soul that could exist if fear were to have a dominant effect on the sculpture of your life, and not predominant effect of love winning out therein. Let's see here. Much of the life pattern has been beleaguered by fear, by hatred of what transpired with the father in this life. You are trying, let's see, stay focused in the present. Look at the situations and the materials surrounding you now. Stay in that moment. And do not be misguided by hopes and wishes when you can take concrete actions that bring them into further being. Remain in lockstep with the changes that you have facilitated, that have facilitated your higher awareness. In so doing, you can then overcome the discrepancies and disparities of life. Okay. You are trying for a new role, a new gift, a new understanding, a new level of Christ consciousness and Christhood within yourself as a being. The sink does then allow you to wash up and to reform your being in ways never heretofore seen or understood. it is expressly situated within the present moment that you should be of such awareness, that the overriding dominating factor is the pursuit of light and love within. We ask you to contemplate and meditate upon yourself and the nature of your itinerary as a soul. Look back not to what the mind thinks, but what the soul thinks. When the earth was but a tiny blue dot that you were zooming into, to pursue another incarnation. The role of the wanderer is one of service to the planetary light, to the planetary offspring, to move wherever needed, to serve wherever asked, to serve without fear of recompensation for any mistakes. For even as the snail eventually reaches his destination, so does the wanderer, embalmed in third-density materials, eventually return back to the source light of all beingness and thus complete the mission. It can seem drudgeries at times. You can seem deluged by concerns. But the deeper aspect is that the mirror that can be held up to the self so that the environment around you is continually showing you what you must learn each and every day. A few coins are stored up in the bank of the soul. Obviously, this is not easy for me to read. A few coins are stored up in the bank of the soul that have not yet been played at the jukebox. There are yet more turns to life, more ways that the future can take its turns. The point now is to remove those beliefs that would be limiting to yourself, ideas that have been warped by the passage of time, much as a vinyl left in the sun for too long. And let's see here. Go in the direction that you are guided, and you will not be led astray. Listen to the silence in between pauses, and you will hear our words speaking to you. Pay attention to your dreams, and we will be giving you the next bits of guidance. We do thank you. We remind you that you are loved more than you can possibly imagine. We eagerly await the time that you approach the throne of the divine and sign your name upon the Akashic records, thus completing your obligations to the third density and freeing yourself for higher workings elsewhere. We now end this reading. Adonai. Now, of course, those of you that have studied my story know that 2 years later, I was talking to Daphne, and the voice that identified itself as the Elohim requested that I write my dreams down. And that night, I put a pad by my bed, and when I woke up in the morning, I found messages that had to come from the Ra group. Very similarly phrased, kind of. If you notice, they talk in kind of a cryptic way that triggers you, can trigger you in a deep level. And that is the way my dream messages were coming in. And at first I thought I was making it up, but it wasn't very long thereafter that they started commenting, on things in the future that haven't happened yet, and they did happen, and I knew. Let's see. for example, here's something from just a couple of nights ago. There's no way of communicating, so you have to send an observer in. I think, see, you have to interpret that. And I interpreted that as actually them describing that they are observing through us, those of us who open to them. They don't have bodies, but they can look through our energy fields and see what's down here. Now, I took another old Wilcock reading, and it was actually about ascension. Those of you that follow David now, I don't think he talks too much about ascension, but when he first started putting up his website, it was actually called Ascension 2000. And Ra was trying to explain through David what's required and how that works. And of course, I asked many, many questions about it, and I usually don't talk about it on the Monday night call. And it's one of those things that because I can't personally validate it, I don't ever want to say this is true and to believe this. But I can say this is what they say. And so if something like ascension is real, then they are describing how it will feel and the criteria. Now, in my own channelings, where I've asked questions about this, they said yes. They confirmed everything that was in the book. And more recently, they said most people are actually going to ascend from their astral body, and their physical body will actually have a natural death on this planet, and their astral body would ascend. If one is going to ascend in their physical body, which is going to be possible for certain people, it's something that you actually have to contemplate and think about, because it's one of those things that you have to say, can I leave everything behind? What am I attached to down here? And I think that most people can't say that. Most people will say, what about my husband? What about my children? Now, in one of the readings we did, they said actually that people could contemplate this together, meditate together, create a group energy together, and they could go as a group. But of course, as I've learned, most people can't talk about this to anyone else without thinking they're crazy. So I can see all the problems that come with the idea of ascension. And so they've said recently, most people are going to ascend from their astral body. And the idea of that is that right now, there is a parallel Earth. This is my best way of explaining it. There's a parallel Earth in another timeline that is in our midst. We are in that parallel Earth. Part of our energy field is in that parallel Earth, and that it is possible to move your whole consciousness and your body into that parallel Earth. And there's a lot of possibility vortices about how this can occur, because we think they can just tell us and we'll know. The problem is that the group consciousness of our planet is constantly recreating the possibilities. So, for example, the more people that come together in groups like this that we have here, and when I say a group like this, I don't mean a group that's talking about ascension. I'm talking about a group that's creating an energy, a group energy that we all partake of. And that energy is a huge thing for the planet, a huge positive thing. Because what's happening is, when we create this energy, we are recreating reality on a quantum level. And we're recreating the vibrations in this realm. And that there's groups all over the planet that are doing this. And that the more groups that do this, the more cohesive and flowing this transition from third density to fourth density can be. In the Carla Ruckert reading some 30 years ago, the Rod Group said one of the possibilities is that this would be a 600-year period, and it would be gradual, and it would give everyone a chance, or most people a chance, to participate in this new dimension. But that was just one possibility. And the other possibility is that, say, a worst-case scenario is that the negative in this realm creates a nuclear disaster and the world just stops existing. And in which case, those people who had qualified for this other dimension, their astral bodies will go to the next realm. They describe they go through healing processes, there's angelic forces, they're working with people, and the planet would be cleared, and so many hundreds of years down in the future, those beings would then incarnate into this new Earth that was, you know, wiped out from all life. So these are the two extremes. In one case, we get a really high vibration. A lot of people do that, and we have 600 years to, like, go through incarnations in those 600 years and help lots of people. And the other extreme is all life is wiped out. Now, it seems to me that things have been getting better down here. And that, say, for example, having a guy, not like he's perfect, but a guy that, like Obama as our leader, is probably going to do a lot to uplift the vibrations in this realm. Those of us that are in this group, you know, this group has the potential to reach a lot more people than it does. And if it does, then it increases the activation of positive vibrations coming into this realm. There's other groups that have that possibility. So we're kind of in a race against time, because if we do that, we can be ensured that we're going to have a lot of interventions, a lot of support from the other side. And on the other hand, there's possibilities of a pole shift. That came through David Wilcock quite a bit, that the Earth would shift and things would get really tough. And in the book, Ra said the economy is going to break down eventually to the point where people have to just trade with each other, that there is no centralized economy. And so it seems to me we are on a pretty tight timeline about lifting the vibration of this realm. And it's going to happen because of people like you and me who understand the game that's being played and take it seriously and add that to whatever other issues we're dealing with in our personal lives. Because we all have personal issues. We're all trying to make ends meet. And trying to make ends meet still leaves room for upliftment of vibration. If trying to make ends meet only leads to worry and anxiety, you're not going to be lifting the vibration of the planet. Or yourself. You're going to be in worry and anxiety. So I took an old channeling of David, and where he said things that he, I think this was in 1999, and I was going to share a bit of that channeling because it relates to this. Let's see. It It is again important to stress that it is how you think about and treat others that matters the highest, more than anything else. We do often see many of those who would contact David voicing or expressing a fear that they are not going to be in the graduation, or that they may have to tough out the earth changes that we have referred to as occurring after this initial wave. We would please ask that you do not indulge the ego in the sense of separateness any longer, as this frustrates us greatly. Be reminded that your own efforts are well met, and you have no need to exercise these fears. You know how simple the truth is, and you know if you are trying to live that truth or not. And so, if you are indeed living that truth, then you should have absolute faith that the process will go as heretofore recorded, and that you will be included in those numbers. If you do not feel that your attitude towards others is sufficiently healthy, then now is the time to begin changing it. Now is the time to begin exercising your free will and making statements to the higher self to the effect that you are willing to be open to these changes within yourself. You must be willing to experience your own shadow side so as to clear it. It is this shadow side, the unacknowledged portions of the self, that can cause so many behavioral complexes in the here and now. Until you trace these causes back to the root of the concern, we may indeed see the same behaviors manifesting, in your terms, over and over again. And so the acceptance and understanding of the shadow side is very important. What tends to happen is that when the shadow side is not integrated, one will lash out at anything or anyone in the physical world that reminds them of the same. With this understanding, then, we can see how it is that with greater self-acceptance comes greater acceptance of others. When you are able to integrate your own darkness and put it forth in the light, you then no longer have any reason to be angry or spiteful or hateful when seeing this negativity in the planet at large. You are able to emerge perfectly balanced and capable of handling the Kosovo-type situations within self as they arise, and to then declare a state of peace between the warring factions of the personality. And so again, we commend you, the reader of these words, for your efforts in studying this material and trying to enhance your personal vibrations. Do not ever think you are not being carefully watched and studied as you study us. We want to extend every available opportunity for you to make the grade, so to speak, and to be able to go through this ascension on the personal level. And thus, by simply being able to understand these laws that we speak of and apply them in your day-to-day life, you are indeed very fortunate to have the tools before you. Do not underestimate the validity of your own personal ascension, as it should be visible to you each and every moment as you continue to expand and make new changes, discovering the Allah within self. We have almost used all of the available stored energy for these workings at this time, and thus we leave you with a point to ponder. Despite the warring factions of the personality, the conflict between the conscious and subconscious mind, there is only oneness. You can then understand how it is that the oneness comes to a better knowing of itself through the exploration of polarity, both negative and positive. When you are capable of seeing these polarized experiences within yourself as a dynamic shifting portion of the oneness, you are also capable of reintegrating yourself into the oneness. This is indeed the key to liberation from suffering. When you have accepted and understood the unanimity of your personal vibrations, you have fully reconditioned the learning curve that was set in your terms in the distant past. We again remind you that you are loved more than you could ever possibly imagine. Spend a little time each day to meditate and prepare the self for the time when the choice must be made. You see, the choice is extended to you. You must make a decision very quickly. Do not hesitate, but rather come to the understanding that this is the right decision. No matter what the concerns, no matter what the fear, you cannot have the knowledge of whether it will be right to go or not until you are in that moment. And again, we remind you that as an ascended being, many of you will be capable of returning to the earth with all of the same abilities intact as those then found in Jesus the Christ. So, okay. There we go, ascension. We clear a passage for those who have gained the appropriate understandings, as they do not need to choose to go through said earth changes. For the others who must reap what they have sown, there is only opportunity in the time of such crisis. And thus the deportation of souls continues, and it is emblematic of the struggles that must be maintained in order to promote planetary balance. Outside the realm of the physical body is the spiritual body, and the trustees have ensured us that as much as possible will be done to try to increase the numbers upon your planet who will graduate. These extreme planetary changes will be seen by those who do not graduate in the first wave. It will give many tremendous opportunities for each individual entity to care more about others, to be of greater service than heretofore imagined. So, if I'm reading in between the lines there, what they're saying is that part of the decline of all the physical things, the economies, the comforts, are actually giving people the opportunity, will give people the opportunity, to be of extraordinary service to each other. And it's within that service to each other that they will create the circumstances that will allow them to graduate from this realm. So it's 6:49, and thank you for putting up with me reading my own reading there. That was kind of emotional, and it's like maybe you can see how far I've gone from the time they actually gave me that reading in 2000. That was before I had any personal channelings. That was before, I think it was even before I decided to write the book. So it's 6:50, and I'll probably just have a few minutes. And Terry, are you on the line? Hello, Terry. Uh-oh, let me see something.
All Terry? Callers are unmuted.
Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Are you a moderator?
Me?
Are you a moderator? Pardon? I couldn't hear you. Are you a moderator?
Yes, I am.
Are you a moderator?
Yes.
Hang on a second.
Pardon?
All callers are muted.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now. Okay.
Okay.
I should have put you on, but I started reading that Wilcock reading, and I thought it was very good. And stuff that I don't...
Not very good, yeah.
Do they want to make any comments on the stuff we're talking about? We only have a few minutes. And actually, the people that are on the phone line, we can continue. And I'll tell you what, people on BBS, you're going to miss this, okay? If you write down this phone number, we'll have a replay line, and you can listen, and we'll have this all on the replay line. And the phone number is 218-936-1005. And the PIN is 37525#. 37525#. So I urge you, if you haven't read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, to please read it. And if you can, get it from my website, because it helps support this work, returnofedgar.com. And... Also, we have a daily message from these sources, and you can sign up for it, messageaday.net, and it's a steady input of upliftment and wisdom in your email every day, messageaday.net. And on that note, let me see here, it's 6:52. I have a new show at 6:55, so we're going to say goodbye to BBS, Steph is listening, and... We're going to continue with the channeling, and we can go longer because we're not trying to fit it into BBS. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and to the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy amongst all of us on this line. And we invite those group souls, the Elohim group and Ra group, to join our energy. And some of you, if you shut your eyes and are more sensitive, you may actually see a light in your third eye area. You may feel an energy on the top of your head, your crown chakra. And those are indications that you're connecting. Some of you just may feel a peaceful feeling. That's an indication. And some of you may be thinking we're a bunch of wackos. You may not get these feelings, and it's okay to think we're wackos. Keep checking it out, though, because there's a lot behind all of this, and probably that would be more people on BBS than on the conference line. I shouldn't say that. I'm thinking I'm still on BBS. So maybe we'll ask some questions about the material we just covered. And do we have a source present?
Yes. Mr. Tra'on, we are available to speak to you today. It is our pleasure to greet you.
Thank you. Can I ask a couple of questions?
Yes.
Okay. First, I'd like to ask Terry to speak closer to the mic because she's getting a little bit choppy. We were talking about ascension, and we were talking about ascending in the astral.